Welcome to Step Into the Story. Incredible conversations of how the Bible changes lives, changes families, and changes communities across the globe. And here's your host, Phil Tuttle of Walk Through the Bible.
Well, welcome to Step Into the Story. My name's Phil, and every time we get together, I get to sit down with an individual, or in this case today, a couple, and just explore the intersection of their story and God's story. And I hope as you listen to this today, especially, this conversation will be encouraging to you, will bring hope to you, regardless of what you happen to be struggling with or waiting on right now. May this just be exactly what you need to hear from the Lord. Join me in welcoming our guests, Naya and Alicia. We are so glad that you are here. I see that you are seated outside your bus. That bus is a big part of your lives, probably be a big part of our conversation today. But God's doing just a new thing and a fresh thing together. We first met, what was it now? Is it 2 years maybe? Something like that.
Yeah, I think 2 or 3 years ago.
Up at America's Keswick in New Jersey. I cannot keep track of time post-COVID. I don't know. I used to be really good at it, or maybe I'm just getting older. That could be a possibility too. How would you describe your ministry? Because to me, it kind of defies description. Obviously, gifted musicians, but so much more than that, and just impossible to pin you down to a specific genre. So both of you take a shot at that. Naya, you go first, and Alicia, then you tell us the real truth about it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, this is God's ministry. I mean, all the way from the beginning, we just feel daily like we are so dependent on Him. When we first got married, we wanted to go into ministry and be a part of what God was doing. We had been going through the Experiencing God study by the Blackabees, if you're familiar with that.
Sure.
And we just loved the idea of stepping back and not trying to forge our way and do something great for God, but to be able to wait, see where He's at work, and then join Him in what He's doing. So that's looked like several things over the course of our 13 years of marriage. But when we first started traveling, we used to travel with my dad's ministry team for a period of time. Then we worked with Bible translation for several years, and we loved the work that we were doing, but we just sensed that God was leading us to something different. And so we prayed, and through our devotions, through the sermons we were hearing, it was just clear that the Lord was asking us to step away from that ministry. And we weren't quite sure what the next step was, but we knew we were going to be in disobedience not to turn in our resignation. So we prayed about it. We turned in our resignation, and out of the blue, we had churches and organizations reaching out saying, hey, could you come lead worship for this event? Could you provide a concert for this event? And so our goal was just to serve the local church however we could and be able to share the gospel and hopefully encourage believers. So for the last starting our ninth year traveling full time as the two of us in music ministry, leading worship and hosting events, both here and different places abroad, we've been able to travel, and it's been all God. We couldn't have made up the story.
Yeah. So Naya, you grew up with that lifestyle, right? With your family?
Yeah. Nomads at heart. My dad is an evangelist, and so he travels in ministry full time, and our family, all eight of us, would travel with him, and we would do music and minister together. And so he gave me a great opportunity to be able to be involved in ministry from a young age and be able to see the joys of that, the struggles of that, all of the different things. But we knew that we wanted to serve the Lord, and you know, God always provides for what He orders. So He's certainly shown that.
Alicia, so tell us some about your background and your spiritual journey.
Sure. Well, I was raised in a Christian home, which I'm really grateful for. When I was very young, my parents were missionaries in Alaska. So my first several years, I was way out in the bush, no running water.
Wow.
Very primitive living. But we ultimately ended up moving to Florida, and that's primarily where I grew up, and just really grateful. My family is certainly not perfect. We've been through a lot of challenges, but God has been faithful through all of it. And my parents ended up splitting up when I was in college. And so they've both remarried. So that's been a whole journey. But like I said, God's really good at taking broken things and using it for something far greater than we can anticipate. So that's been a really helpful thing as we've gone through in our ministry, even just to be able to relate and hopefully encourage those who are going through their own brokenness.
So when you met and fell in love, I mean, did you, Alicia, visualize this life that you currently have on the road? Or did you think, I probably got that out of his system and it's going to be a little house with a white picket fence? I mean, how was this expected or a surprise for you?
You know, my whole life has been a surprise. I feel like I had no idea. In fact, I had never even been inside of an RV, to my knowledge, until I met his parents. And so, yes, this life has definitely been a surprise, and it was a huge adjustment. But I've really come to love it, and now I start getting antsy if we're in one place too long. So, I think the nomad sentiment has definitely spread to me now.
So we've ministered together with a couple different organizations. You know, when you're a traveling speaker like I am, you work with all different musicians. And I've just got to say, I'm probably not allowed to have favorites, but if I could, you would definitely be in the finalists of that particular competition. And that's true for a number of reasons. First, I just think that you're real. And, you know, just like I could pull a sermon out of my greatest hits album and blow the dust off of it and show up. That's easy to do as musicians too, but there's a freshness when you lead worship, and big difference between being a worship leader and a performer. I just wonder, how would you describe your style? We'll have links for our listeners so they can check out some of your music, but how would you describe it to folks who don't know you?
Oh man, we love so many different genres, different styles of music that we try to incorporate things that would, you know, be for the whole body of Christ. So things that would appeal to the older and younger. And so we do a variety of things, but really when it comes down to it, we try and pray about it and just see if the Lord speaks to us through the music, then we feel like that's what we need to do, because that's what's touching our hearts to be able to, you know, have a passion to be able to communicate that and hopefully encourage others to be able to worship together. So we do a variety of contemporary gospel music, praise and worship, classic. We have a classical background, so we try and incorporate just a variety and enjoy all the different things God created as far as musically, so many different sounds, textures, and styles to be able to enjoy and worship the Lord with.
That's so cool. So, I mean, you both have killer voices that blend.
Mine's mostly killer.
Beautifully.
Sounds good.
Yeah, well, you know, both keyboard, but what other instruments do you play? This is one of my other favorite things.
I play a variety of trumpets, flugelhorn, guitar, Irish penny whistles. We enjoy using some ethnic instruments that kind of bring in a world flavor to some of the worship. So we enjoy that. Alicia plays different hand drums and piano, keyboards.
Yeah. We've done several tours to Israel. And so I should say my very first time going to Israel, I fell in love with some of the music over there. So I picked up a cool Israeli hand drum and have been really, really having a lot of fun incorporating
into our
songs. Yeah.
That's fantastic. You write music as well. I always, when I've had a handful of pretty well-known musicians on here, and I always love to ask the question, describe for me your songwriting process. Because, I mean, is it something you do together? Is it, you know, is there collaboration there? Are there arguments there and counseling involved? How does a song get birthed through you?
Yes.
Yes, all of the above.
In fact, we were planning on setting up a counseling session today. I feel like it's, you know, you can sit down and with a piece of paper and try to flesh something out. Sometimes that works, but it seems like more often for me, it's, you know, I'm on the way into the store or driving and I just need to record a quick voice memo and then we go and flesh it out. Or sometimes it's, you know, through devotions and a particular verse is like, hey, let's jump over on the piano and see what this would sound like if we were to incorporate this into a song. thought line does that have? You know, what other verses are coming to mind, or what scripture passages are coming to light in that? So it's a variety of things, and we are definitely not the pinnacle of songwriters. We just are
still learning.
We are newbies that are enjoying just trying to communicate what's in our hearts and what the Lord is speaking to us through. So it's been fun. What would you say, Alicia?
Well, I would say practically speaking, Naya is stronger with melodies and coming up with beautiful harmonies and things like that. So he's definitely stronger on the music side. I tend to be stronger on the lyric side, but I think the longer we're married and the longer we're working together, we kind of help each other with both. So it's been mostly fun, sometimes stressful, but
I think one of the challenges too, and a lot of writers would probably say this, that trying to pull from life experiences and your story. And so we've tried to do that, although in some ways I feel like parts of our life have been more hidden. Just some of the struggles that we've dealt with through a series of infertility and things like that, a whole journey there, but trying to let that come out more and what we're sharing in our music and be more vulnerable in those ways. I think that really connects with people because everybody's dealing with stuff, and and the Lord uses that, I think, in powerful ways to communicate to other people and encourage them.
I think that's how Ellen and I probably bonded with you first up at America's Keswick. You shared a little of that struggle, and of course that was a big part of Ellen's and my life, our early married years. We tried about 5 years and were not able to have kids. And she had 3 different surgeries, and eventually God gave us Emily. And then 3 years later, after another surgery, brought Philip into the world. And so I remember Ellen just going, "We need to go pray with them." And I go, "Well, they probably want some downtime." And and she goes, "I don't care." She's like, "We got to go pray with them." And that time, I know you meet a zillion people, but that time that we spent together in your mobile home, just talking and sharing that burden together, we've continued to pray for you.
There's, thank you so much.
That was so special.
That was a special time together.
There's big news on that issue. Why don't you share with us how God's been and continues to be in the process of answering all those prayers?
Sure. I mean, way back when we were first starting, you know, I feel like God has led us one step at a time. You know, over those 13 years, there have been several junctures where we felt like this is how God's going to provide a family for us, or this is the way it's going to work out. And coming to dead end after dead end after dead end, it felt like our hope had been reduced to almost nothing. And I had resolved in my mind that, you know, it's just going to be the two of us, that it's not God's will that we would have children in our life. And we had just recently kind of had discussion about that, talking about that. And we went to an event up in Warrenton, Missouri, where a guy by the name of Dr. Phil Tuttle was speaking. And maybe you can just share the...
Well, let me just say it's very dangerous getting to do worship leading at a variety of conferences, because usually we're sitting on the front row, and whatever God has put on the speaker's heart, we are in the fire hose line. And so it's just been such a blessing to get that teaching and have that impact our lives. But yes, you are certainly partially to blame for this series of events. And I remember you were speaking on the Book of Ruth, and there have been just a handful of times in my life where I felt like the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and spoke into my ear. And that was one of them. I was sitting on, actually, I guess the end of the second row. And I remember you talking about how Ruth was an outsider, you know, and God had was pursuing her through this whole series of events. And basically the Lord told me it's time to pursue adoption again. And international adoption is what I felt like he was putting on my heart. And I thought, oh no, you know, you get that uncomfortable, you know, feeling where you're at a fork in the road. And it's like, this is a really hard road, because we had already kind of been down that and experienced a lot of heartbreak and disappointment. And I really didn't want to go down that road again unless I knew for sure this is what God had for us. And so I kind of held on to that. I didn't say anything to Naya right away. But after that sermon, we went over for a lunch break. And I remember sitting next to a guy from Sri Lanka, and I asked him about his family, which I don't normally do in that way. But he said, well, there are a lot of us. I've adopted 18 children.
18. Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. You know, here I am struggling, thinking about how one or two children might impact my life, you know. So it was kind of funny how the Lord started a whole series of interactions. And then on the way home from that lunch, I told Naya, I said, I think the Lord is prompting us to pursue adoption again. You know, and I told him about the message and we were talking about it. And then I came in for dinner and I sat next to another lady and she said, you probably don't remember me, but we talked several years ago. I'm the lady who adopted a girl from Russia.
Wow.
I thought, okay, here we go. And it was just seriously like every interaction after that. I mean, I'm getting hot tea in the morning at the next venue. We were at the Cove and a guy said, I can't wait to get home to my boy. You know, I adopted him from Samoa. And so anyway, the Lord put us on a path for international adoption, and we started going through all of these things. And one of the major challenges that we had had over the years was our housing situation. Right. Since mm-hmm. we travel full time in ministry, we don't have a typical house. We live in a bus. And so that had always kind of been a roadblock for us. But just, I think it was a week or two before we heard your message, a couple had approached us and basically said, we feel like the Lord is telling us to let you use one of our extra properties so that you can, you know, have a home study and go through this adoption. And I said, thank you. I'll pray about it, you know, but really in my heart, like I said, we had had so many disappointments. I didn't want them to just be trying to fix my problem. I really wanted to know if this is from the Lord. Mm-hmm. So then when we came and heard you speak, and then I kept running into all these people, I felt like the Lord was saying, it's time.
So we started pursuing adoption through the Philippines. The Lord brought up everything Philippines in our path. And so we started pursuing that. And we, thought that was the journey God had us on. We were about a year into that program, getting ready to pay one of the last final payments towards that. And we did a concert in October up in Delaware, and we didn't think anything of it. We went on to the next venue, the next places. We're down in Florida then later, a couple weeks later, and we got a phone call from a couple, and they said, hey, we attended your concert. We saw there is a worship concert at this church, and we're not members there. We came, we heard your story. We heard that you're wanting to adopt to the Philippines, but then you'd come across a couple roadblocks in that process. They said, we adopted two children ourselves. And so we thought, okay, we're going to hear their adoption story. And so they told us a little bit about that. And they said, at the time of your concert in October, our one daughter was pregnant. And we just felt so strongly that the Lord was impressing on our hearts through your concert that this is the couple to raise your granddaughter. And we thought, okay, who are you again? You know, what is going on? And so they said, we felt so strongly about this that after the concert, we purchased all of your music and we started playing it so that this little girl would be able to hear your voices and be familiar with your voices. And we're like, okay, all right, wow, God, what are you up to here? And say they said, we'd like to offer you the opportunity if you would be interested in coming up and meeting our family, and if you're interested in adopting this little girl. And so
That is a terrible place to pause this, but I'm going to do exactly that. This is the ultimate cliffhanger. You know, the series that Naya and Alicia are talking about is called Refuge, Finding Home in a World of Change. It's a verse-by-verse study through Ruth. It's part of a growing series called the Biblical Character Series. The newest installment of that, y'all need to hear this one too sometime. Maybe God will bring us together again. It's on the life of Elijah. This one is called Courageous. And the subtitle is Choosing Faith When You Want to Give Up. And as I'm listening to your story unfold, I'm just thinking, wow, that would really be an encouragement to you all. We'll send you a link so that you can stream it and listen to it on the road. My messages tend to cause drowsiness, so do not operate a large vehicle immediately after listening to them. But I think it'll be a blessing to you. Everybody else, you can get it either on DVD or through streaming. Just check us out at walkthrough.org/courageous. And we would love to put that in your hands. I think you'll be tremendously encouraged by that. Now back to the story. So God seems to be opening up this door. He's sent you 19 messengers about it so far. And yet I get it. There's fear of trusting again. I've put my heart on the line before and it hasn't come to fruition. I'm scared. So pick up the story from there.
Well, we got off the phone call with this couple and we thought, what just happened? You know, we didn't even ask for the name of this little girl.
We didn't ask any good questions. We just were in shock.
We were in shock. Sure. So long story short, a week later, we drove up to Delaware and she was 2 weeks old. She was born on election night and we got ready to go into the house and the grandmother came outside and she said, I just want to let you know up front. She's like, I know when we went to go meet our daughter, we were just on pins and needles and trying to figure out what to do, what to say. She said, I just want to let you know, this is not an interview. We are fully at peace in our hearts that you are the right couple for this child. We just want you to be able to come and enjoy this time together, getting to know her. So we walked in and there was her birth mother there holding her. And she said, would you like to hold her? And we held her. And within 24 hours, they asked us, they said, would you like to take her home overnight for an overnight? And so we found ourselves sitting there holding this beautiful 2 week old little girl. And we're thinking, you know, we had 13 years to prepare for this and now it's here and we got nothing, you know? Oh man, we were just overjoyed at God's goodness and how he's working out the story. So our Christmas tour ended up being in the Northeast, which was unusual. We're not typically in that region during that time of year. So between our events, we were able to go and meet with her, and starting December 30th, then she's been in our care full time and we're walking through the adoption steps to be able to adopt little Grace is her name. And so adopting Grace into our family, we're really excited about that.
Ellen and I believe every child is a miracle regardless of the circumstances, but there are times when God seems to deliver a child either through, you know, the biological process or the miracle of adoption. It's so cool to me that both of those metaphors are used in scripture for our relationship with God. You know, you've got the whole Nicodemus and Jesus conversation about being born again a second time, not physically, but spiritually. But then you've also got the metaphor of adoption, which is so cool because in an adoption, it's choosing to love where no relationship previously existed. And it's like God says, you got to have both of those to even begin to understand my love for you. So this is just a miraculous answer to our prayers and probably thousands of other people's prayers. And, you know, with an open adoption, I mean, obviously there's blessings with that. There's additional complications with that. And, I mean, we're just going to keep praying for you that God navigates you through that whole process and that turns out to be just really healthy and beautiful. But we're not going to just go, okay, baby's here now, you're on your own now. We're going to stick together with you and be praying with you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate that.
During this time, when you were talking even about writing songs, you mentioned scripture, you mentioned the Bible, you mentioned the word, kind of we use those terms all interchangeably. How has God sustained you, especially using scripture, during this time of waiting? Because it's been a protracted period. It's been a major chunk of your married life together. How has he kept you going with that?
Well, I think it's a daily thing where when you you know, God reveals himself to us through his word, one of the ways he reveals himself to us. And so when you're in it, things that you never seen before, it's like, oh, that's right here to us. We need to be patient. We need to be steadfast. We need to think about God's love for us and how it is steadfast. It's always never changing, and that he really does know us best. And we felt like we had to keep giving it over to the Lord. It's like, oh, I thought I already gave all of this over to the Lord, but there's still more that I am hanging on to in my hands. So trying to give that to him. But really, for me, one of the verses that has been so powerful to think about, I think I'll call it my life verse, Ephesians 3:20, that talks about, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, and thinking about just his goodness, his plans. And in this story, and I mean, we could go through example after example in our ministry of how God has provided in miraculous ways and taken care of us exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And it was super special that while we were up there in the with the family, that they said, before you go, I want you to go up into the nursery. And the nursery has all of these chalk walls up on the nursery. And she said, would you write on the door or on the wall, write your favorite verse, so when we come up here to the nursery, we would just be reminded of scripture and, you know, and let that speak to us. And so I, you know, got my hand out there and I'm writing Ephesians 3:20. Alicia, you did, I think,
earlier in the chapters.
Yep. And then the birth mother wrote Jeremiah
29:11.
That's right. And just an awesome picture, you know, while we're doing it. These things are surreal. We couldn't make up these types of stories, you know, that God does far more than we could ask or think. If we look for it, if we're available, and if we're obedient to when he prompts us to do something. I mean, I think of different junctures where we could have missed out on that blessing, even through the booking of going to that that church and that event. There were some things that came up, and I thought, man, we could have missed all of this if we had responded with maybe or no or whatever. But God's sovereignty and his perfect plan is just awesome to look back and see. You know, we look forward with a lot of question marks, but we certainly see how God's been faithful in the past. In the future.
So Alicia and I, last name Merrill, what is the best way for people, if they want to follow you on this journey, if they want to find out more about your ministry, if they maybe want to have you come to their place or find out if you're going to be in their part of the country, what's the best way for people to engage with you ongoing after today?
Sure. You can find us on any social media that you use there, Naya and Alicia Merrill. That's N-I-A-H-A-L-L-I-S-H-A for Alicia. Our parents wanted to give us those good Bible names. And so we got some unique spellings there. My full name is Mattaniah, but we shortened it up to make it simpler. So our website is nayaalicia.com. And our tour schedule and things are posted there, and you can get links to the different socials there as well.
Great. And we'll put those in the show notes too. I finally got into the Billy Graham Cove to speak, and you are not going to be there. So thank you for your role in that recommendation, maybe helping open a door there. That's always been a dream of mine. I'm going to be there this summer in July, and then they've already invited me back for 2026 also. So let's line up and so we can hang out together again.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. And they will definitely be encouraged through your teaching there.
Well, as you're listening and watching this today, I mean, I don't know anybody who's not waiting for something.
Right.
It might be waiting for a spouse. It might be waiting for an opportunity that's more than just a job, but it's a career, and maybe even more than that, a calling in life. Or maybe it's waiting for answers to a health concern. It can be all sorts of things. But you're in God's waiting room, and I hope you're encouraged that you're not alone in his waiting room. He has given us his word. You've heard about the importance of that. That's why Walk Through the Bible exists. We'd love to come alongside of you and past the hours or the days or the months or even the years there in the waiting room together. It's just better than being alone. So check out our resources at walkthrough.org/resources. And then we love to pray. If you have a prayer concern, please send it our way. We'd love to be in prayer with you about that, like we've been praying for Alicia and Naya. God does answer prayers, not always in the way that we want. And I'm pretty thankful that he's wiser than I am. And he sometimes goes, Phil, that seems to make sense, but we're not going that direction. And very seldom is it according to our timing. But that's God's right. plan is perfect. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's without pain. But it does mean it's going to accomplish his purposes in our lives. So I hope you're just very encouraged today by this conversation. Tell your friends about Step Into the Story. Subscribe to it so you don't miss a single episode. And Naya and Alicia, thank you so much for joining me today. Same with everybody else, and we will see you the next time we get together here on Step Into the Story.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us for the Step Into the Story podcast, powered by Walk Through the Bible. We'd love to hear what you think by giving us a review on iTunes or Google Play. Also, don't miss a single episode by clicking the subscribe button. If you'd like more resources to help you explore and live God's Word in your daily life, visit walkthrough.org. That's walkthrough.org. Walk through the Bible. Take a walk. Change the world.